Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Hello and welcome to our service of worship on this fourth Sunday in Lent. Our homilist today is Chancellor Janet Warren. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let us pray. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. We thank you, O God, that you have again brought us together to praise you for your goodness and to ask for your blessing. Give us grace to see your hand in the week that is past and your purpose in the week to come. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Dear friends in Christ, as we turn our hearts and minds to worship Almighty God, let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments, and to live in love and peace with our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we might delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Merciful God, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. This is the collect for the fourth Sunday in Lent. Gracious God, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, came from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world, evermore give us this bread, that he may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from the book of Joshua, chapter 5, beginning at the 9th verse. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt, and so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on that day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed between the lections is Psalm 32. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. while I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer. Selah. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Selah. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of mighty waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or mule, without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with a bit and bridle, else it will not stay near you. Many are the torments of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Watch over us, loving God, and when we fall into sin, teach us to acknowledge our guilt. May we forgive and be forgiven for the sake of the one who was wounded for our transgressions, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen.
A reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, beginning with the 16th verse. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we no longer know him in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All of this from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled with God. For our sakes, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me. So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself and said, How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Holy Spirit, take my words and speak to each of us according to our need. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Here we are already at the fourth Sunday in Lent. For anyone who's given anything up for Lent, I'm sure you're thrilled that the days are passing so quickly. The much-anticipated Easter will be here before we know it. Now, before I dive into my homily, I have to tell you what I saw on Friday. Friday morning, I'm on Twitter, and to the right, it literally says, "Trending in Canada, Jesus Christ." Over 34,000 tweets. Isn't that just the coolest thing? Okay, excitement over. So today's focus is the Gospel from Luke. That's one of the many parables told by Jesus. It's just another example of how Jesus used parables to help people understand what he's trying to tell them. Parables were a great way for Jesus to drive a point home, giving people a story they could understand and relate to. Interestingly enough, the first three verses of today's gospel precede a different parable, and I'll come back to those three lines in a little bit. But chapter 15 from Luke is actually three parables told by Jesus. This week's gospel included only the third of those three. They're all about the same thing. First is the parable of the lost sheep, the second, the parable of the lost coin, and finally, today's gospel, the parable of the lost son. In each story, Jesus shows that no matter how many of something you have, when you lose one, you will look for it and be thrilled when it's found. This is true of the one of the 100 sheep in the first parable, one of the 10 silver coins in the second parable, and one of even just two sons in today's gospel reading. In the case of the sheep and the coins, the 99 sheep and the 9 silver coins, the things not lost, they didn't really care one way or another if the lost ones found. That was not the case with the lost son. In the parable of the lost son, the youngest of two sons asks the father for his part of the inheritance from his father, and then goes off to seek his fortune, as it were. The other son stays behind with the father and works very hard alongside his father to keep things going. To make a long story short, eventually the young son runs out of money, having spent it rather unwisely. He tries to figure out how to manage, but eventually realizes that he's better off just going home. Unlike some, though, he's at least realizing his shortcomings and only wishes to ask his father if he can work as one of his father's slaves, because at least they get fed. Father will have none of that, and welcomes his son home with open arms, and even has his servants kill the fatted calf to have a great celebration for his son who has returned. This upsets the son who has stayed behind and worked his buns off with his father. As a matter of fact, he becomes really angry with his father. And I'll be quite honest in saying that's probably a pretty common reaction. Think about how it might make you feel in today's terms. Your brother or sister is given money from your parents to go out and do whatever they want. You're being the good child, staying home and helping out your father and whatever business he's in. And then in walks your sibling, having spent every last dime he was giving, looking for a handout. How do you reconcile that? Well, I need to stress one little but important piece here. The son does return penniless, but he also returns with his tail between his legs, being very apologetic. He's truly sorry for what he's done, and not only asks forgiveness from his father, but asks if his father will allow him to work with the slave to earn his keep. Does that paint a different picture for you? If your sibling came back very apologetic and truly understood that what they'd done was wrong and weren't asking to have things back the way they were before they left, could you forgive them? Should you forgive them? As some people say, WWJD, meaning, what would Jesus do? Well, you know the answer to that question. Of course Jesus would forgive that person, and so should you. Each month, the clergy in our church are required to produce a report of activities that we were involved in that month. When I send the monthly reminder to provide the report so that I can summarize for the College of Bishops, there are three questions that are different each month added to the template. This month being Lent, of course, the questions are about forgiveness. Here they are. Number one, do you practice forgiveness in your daily life? Number two, when is forgiveness hardest to practice? And number three, when we observe societal or institutional offenses, how does the teaching of forgiveness apply? Think about those questions for a bit. I'm going to focus on the second question, about when is forgiveness hardest to practice. The answer may be slightly different for everyone, but I'll bet for many, or perhaps most, or maybe it's just me, I find it toughest to forgive those looking for forgiveness for the same thing over and over and over again. I can forgive you, but if you jump right back into doing the same thing over and over again, are you really truly sorry for what you've done? And should I forgive you when you aren't really sorry and I'll know you're going to go out and do the same thing again? These are questions of the ages. And again, WWJD, what would Jesus do? You know. Mind you, as I also say, holding a grudge is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. You're the one that's being eaten up from the inside holding that grudge. As Elsa sings in the movie Frozen, let it go, let it go. Okay, I can't sing. In many ways, giving forgiveness is for you, the forgiver, not the forgivee. They have their own baggage. Here's the toughie to really think about. Pleasure of joining some fellow Christians in a six-part series about Wormbrand. In a nutshell, this man, Richard Wormbrand, came from a Jewish family, but he was actually really an atheist. He not only became a Christian, but even a pastor. When the Russians invaded Romania, where Richard, his wife Sabina, and son Mihai lived, they brought with them their own religion, which was atheism. There are really too many details to speak of here, but suffice it to say that eventually Richard, and later his wife too, were imprisoned and tortured for their beliefs. If you watch the movie Tortured for Christ, it's pretty graphic. How does this tie into today's theme of forgiveness? Well, Richard forgave his torturers. So did Sabina. What an amazing strength of faith they had. They could love their captors and forgive them. Although those torturers were not sorry for what they'd done and definitely not seeking forgiveness. Wow, that's pretty amazing. Okie dokie, now back to the beginning of the homily. I promised to talk about those three lines at the beginning of this chapter in the Hear the Memory. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, and you know what the parables were. So the parables are meant to explain why Jesus was associating with sinners. Well, he's trying to reach everyone. It's nice, and in fact easy, to preach to believers and those who follow Jesus. But what's the challenge in that? None. Jesus and his disciples are needing to reach the sinners. And they need to have them repent of their sins and turn away from their sinful ways and follow Jesus. Jesus was wanting all to hear of God's love and forgiveness. There's that word again, forgiveness. It's because God's love that he does forgive. And it's because we love God and we wish our neighbors as ourselves, or we love our neighbors as ourselves, which is what we're asked to do, that we also forgive. In the remaining weeks and days of Lent, remember that we're reminded to love our neighbors as ourselves, and in so doing, to forgive those who have wronged us. Some days that's a tall order, but it's what we're asked to do, and Jesus set the example for us. Perhaps here I'm bold enough to take a line from the Jesus playbook, if you'll permit me, Luke chapter 23, part of verse 34. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. As I wrap this up, let me give you a wonderful quote I found on the site crosswalk.com. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable, because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Is it a challenge for you to forgive? It is especially a challenge for you to forgive repeat offenders. Then work on that challenge this week, please. Now, as I'm wanting to finish in a nice short little prayer for the strength to forgive, I couldn't find a good one out there, so I decided to wing it. Here we go. Dear Creator, please guide us as we begin this new week and give us the strength and desire to forgive others as we are forgiven by you. Help us to understand the value of forgiveness so that it comes easier to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
A time of intercessory prayer. With confidence and trust, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the one holy Catholic and apostolic church throughout the world, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those preparing for baptism and for their teachers and sponsors, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace in the world, that a spirit of respect and reconciliation may grow among nations and people, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer. For Betty, for Shane, Sonia, Al, Gary, Dee, Bruce, Uncle T and family, Charlene, Philip and family. For the family of Tyler Forrestal, for Reverend Jeanette, Reverend Pat and Dave, Phyllis and Pat. For our clergy and their family, for our Bishop Jean, for all who are victims of violence or some type of physical abuse, for refugees, prisoners, and all in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all whom we have injured or offended, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For grace to amend our lives and to further the reign of God, we pray to you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Yours, Lord, is the greatest, the power, the glory, the splendor, the majesty. For everything in heaven and on earth is yours. All things come from you, and of your own do we give you. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time, with one accord, to make our common supplications to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together, you will hear their request. Fulfill now our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth and in the age to come eternal life. For you, Father, are good and loving. We glorify you through Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted. Songs of praise are being offered. Bread and wine is being blessed to nurture Creator's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and every moment of our day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and everyone whom you love this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Thanks be to God. Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.
Blog Talk Radio.